Welcome to the Threadless Podcast, where we talk to creative people doing creative things. I'm Lance.
And I'm Elizabeth.
On this episode, we are joined by Priya Shah, the founder and executive director of The Simple Good, who is connecting the meaning of good from around the world to empower at-risk youth through art and discussion. Priya, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're so excited to chat. So tell us a little bit about The Simple Good. How did it start?
Oh, man, that's a long story, but it's a good one, I guess. So I started the organization about 8 years ago now. Man, time flies. It's crazy.
It's true. So
I really started it. I grew up as an artist, but I did a lot of volunteer work internationally. So I've worked at Mother Teresa's Orphanage. I've worked in slums in South Africa. I've worked in Brazil, a lot of different parts of the world, doing a lot of kind of the same work where we're working in very underprivileged communities with kids. And there was a very strong takeaway from those experiences when I was young. And it was really learning about, you know, this universality of humanity and really what connects all of us. And really acknowledging and understanding how it was identifying how we appreciate the little things in our lives and how there's a consistency of what those good things are no matter where I was around the world. And I learned that by acknowledging and appreciating those small moments of beauty, a lot of the kids I worked with internationally were able to be more resilient, you know, to be able to identify good in other people and the things that are around them, no matter what's happened in their short period of time in this world, really was enabling them to keep going and continue to find more good. And I felt like when I came back to the States after all these travels, we didn't really talk about that much here. You know, we were so much very fast-paced life with our day-to-day that we never really paused to appreciate, you know, that simple good in our lives. And I was also I decided to pursue business actually when I went back to university because I did see that separation between art and social impact and business sector. And I thought that if I learned these skill sets, maybe I can empower a lot of the places that I was working with. And so I was an artist, and then I showed up at business school, and everyone's like, what are you doing here? Why aren't you in art school? I was like, thanks, guys. Like, it's really hard to get here, you know? And I really, you know, kind of went through that route of learning about business. I went into corporate accounting and finance. I was an auditor, like artist turned auditor. It was so weird. And then I actually started The Simple Good while I was working. And it's really started as a blog where me and a few friends were just kind of talking about these understandings, you know, knowing that it existed, but just needing a creative outlet to share that with the world. And so the blog was called The Simple Good. We put together about 54 of our favorite photos from around the world of different moments of The Simple Good that we saw. So these could be like, you know, just the sunset or just watching somebody observe peace or an act of kindness or a beautiful, you know, body of water. These things that you know that are as true to everybody and you can see it anywhere where you are in the world. And then opened it up to the public and said, submit your simple good, you know, just kind of for fun. And the blog went viral in a week and we started getting all these submissions from around the world. Now the blog still continues to exist and we have over 1,000 photos on this blog. And that's what we use to teach students about different perspectives of good from around the world. And I knew I always wanted to bring this to kids, you know, and also kids that are generally stigmatized as being negative for nothing that they've done, really, just simply where they're born, right, and how they've entered this world. And so giving them a platform to speak about positivity and how they can really create change was very important to me based on, like, my previous experiences. So, you know, worked with a couple schools, did a pilot program, and it was just, like, so amazing to see how surrounding kids with a short period of time with this notion of different examples of positivity could really not only challenge their perspective of life, but also allow them to go through this process of cope and healing. And we saw a lot of our kids transform around that. And because they were able to go through that process, now they're making better decisions to pursue, you know, that simple good and continue to find that. And so it's really, you know, right now it still continues to be the same program, but it's grown, and now we are able to bring it across Chicago and internationally. So
that's incredible.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's incredible.
That's great. So could you just, I'm curious, do you have an example that comes to your mind of how you've seen art empower youth or some kids you've worked with?
Yeah. I mean, I have so many stories. It's really crazy, but I guess the most recent one we were at, we bring our, at the end of the program, we do a final pop-up art showcase for our students, and we bring them to different creative institutions around Chicago to do a final showcase. We did one at Threadless last year, and that was incredibly remarkable. I don't know if you remember the thank you cards our students
sent. Yeah, it was awesome.
Just great.
And all the kids were so fun. And
They were.
They were really good.
They were raving about your space. They're like, it was like heaven. Like, they were just so excited.
I remember one kid asked me how long I'd worked at the at Threadless, and I think at the time I said 12 years. I think it was 12 years then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been 12 years. Almost 13 years. And he's like, you've worked here longer than I've been alive. And I was like, oh.
How's that for perspective?
I'm like, that's amazing.
Thank you for that observation. They're very honest, you know. That's a good attribute.
No, they were all great. They were all so fun to work with.
Great. I'm so happy you guys were able to host and be a part of that. They literally were talking about it for like weeks and weeks onward. I'm like, oh, no, where am I going to take them next? But, you know, it's very important for us to bring them into spaces like yours and other companies that support creativity, because it allows them to understand, like, how art can be real, you know, and how if you do pursue this, you can bring it to different spaces like this. You know, there are jobs that are created through creativity, and that's how a lot of innovation happens. So when they get not only to come into the space and also show their artwork to the public, which a lot of people don't realize that our students, many of our kids don't really get to express themselves or have a platform to express themselves, let alone create art. So this is like a very empowering, dynamic opportunity that we're able to provide our students, you know, from communities that where a lot of our students don't even go downtown. So a lot of the times it's the first time our student will come downtown and they'll be like, where do these big buildings come from? You know, this isn't like our neighborhood. And it's so cool to expose them to that, because now you break the barrier of the unknown. Mm. But we just most recently had a showcase where we brought our Little Village students to United Airlines.
Wow.
And it was so cool because, like, they're coming in and they come into this big building and they're just, like, looking out the window. And they're like, so what happens if we fall down? Like, what if this building falls? And they're just like, well, there's a river outside, so that'll catch you.
Aim for the river.
Yeah. But it was so cool to see, like, you know, that's what's going on in their head right now. But it was amazing. I actually didn't know this until later on. I saw a video. One of our students was, she was only in sixth grade, and she was going through a lot of depression. Mm-hmm. And we always do, like, an assessment of our kids before we start. And she ranked really low. But she was really quiet, so you can't always read that sometimes, because they are sometimes can be quiet. And then at the showcase, she was like, her whole spiel was about how art just let this depression out of her, because one of our instructors told her to draw something, crumple it up, and let it go.
Oh,
and and it was a photography program. So what we teach them is to find the simple good in your community and take a picture. So she took a picture of this mural that was a beautiful, bright flower. And she says, I look at this mural every day and I realize that there is good things around me that can remind me of positivity, and it really, you should be positive, because when you're positive, good things happen. And, you know, I'm here today, I'm in this place. And I'm like, you should be a spokesperson for Simple Good. You're amazing right now, and I didn't even know you were going to say all this.
What a tangible way of dealing with your emotions, you know?
Yeah.
It's very visceral. Mm-hmm. I can imagine how successful that would be with kids.
Yeah, and it's cool because, like, you're giving them a tool that they can use even after the program mm-hmm. is done, right? And they're able to, and we really encourage them, like, you are now responsible to pass this on. You are Simple Good ambassadors. And they take that wholeheartedly, because now they have a role in the community. So, yeah, I have countless stories. I mean, I could go on for this. So.
That's awesome.
No worries. Speaking of the community, the election is really on top of mind here in mm-hmm. Chicago. From your experience, what do you think we need to see more of from politicians and even beyond in relation to the arts? You know, mm-hmm. how can that even translate to kids?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, overall, I always think that, you know, Chicago is so segregated. Mm. And that is really what continues for this disparity of inequity, this lack of equity in education, this lack of care about the other community. It's really about, like, what community we're in and what community we commute to. And I think that overall, if there is more investment in education, but then also community dialogue, where we're bringing different types of people together in front of each other to create economy and work together, that's really how we can create more union. You know, like, even our economies are separated in Chicago, meaning mm-hmm. that people aren't really looking to rely on each other. And therefore it furthers their separation. But I think art is a really powerful dialogue to get people in front of each other, even if they are kind of have this fear, this barrier, to break that, you know, unconsciously and then start a dialogue. And that's why I think our final showcases are so important. And that is actually partially why I do that. It is to break barriers. It's these kids that are from our neighborhoods that are coming downtown who may not have an opportunity to come downtown. But then we're also inviting young professionals and professionals to come who wouldn't probably go to their community and really be in front of our kids and look them in the eye, understand their simple good, and realize, wow, these kids are human, just like me. And by that, we kind of start this dialogue of like, okay, you know, what can I do to support this child? Might be just like my child. They are like my child, you know. They want it. They have the same aspirations. They have the same capabilities. So why not provide them the same resources? And I think it's just that, you know, perception thing that's happening in the city. And it's also, you know, that perpetrates into this, how the kids learn. Because when you aren't provided enough resources, the kids know, right? They know that they're not getting enough compared to the next school.
Yeah.
And so when you come into school and you kind of have that mentality of like, well, we don't have anything, you kind of sense the lack of empowerment through that. So whenever we do our international programs, I'm always introducing that to our students in Chicago and creating a cross-culture dialogue because it creates perspective on what we have, right? Like our kids in Africa don't actually materially have as much, but do they have the capacity of doing just the same? Yes. And the kids see that in Chicago, and then they kind of keep in perspective of what they have and what they have the capability of doing. So, you know, that's kind of on an international level, but at the same time, those same exchanges need to happen in Chicago.
Definitely. It's awesome. Cool. So going back to art and your interest in art, do you have a favorite artist or maybe a style of art that you are most into?
Oh, man. I can't say I have a favorite because there's just like so many amazing. Like my Instagram feed is full of these artists. I'm like,
oh, what kind of art inspires you?
I love art with like a lot of storytelling and history to it. Like my medium of art was always mixed media and it connected my heritage to the things that I was dealing with now, and it was a lot of it was inspired by poetry. And so I love when art has kind of that mix of this is something I heard that evolved into a visual or vice versa, because I think like the arts, no matter what medium it is, it really does connect together.
Absolutely.
And so when I can see that visually, I see artists interpret that, I really like that makes me pause a lot longer.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was listening to an interview with Neil Gaiman last night, and he was talking about people ask you who has inspired you or what your influences were. And a lot of times, if you're a writer, you say other writers, or if you're a musician, you say other musicians. But he's like, go away from that. It's like his biggest influence was probably Lou Reed.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't realize that until years later that like the person who actually influenced him the most was Lou Reed. So it's like finding influences and things that aren't actually a medium you work in.
Yeah, exactly.
Really awesome.
Yeah, and it really opens up your eyes as to like how you can connect to things that aren't necessarily you, but then at the same time, it is a part of you because you do connect to it, right?
Right.
And I actually always grew up drawing, but I realized I connected to poetry very strongly because that's what inspired my paintings. And then I started writing. So I did start writing poetry, and like that would influence my artwork. So yeah, I totally agree with what he said.
Awesome.
So if you were to help give advice to parents or teachers or someone that might have a kid or be surrounded by kids frequently, what would you tell them or how can you help them to help their kids, their students, explore more art and find their simple good?
That's a great question. I think like for us as adults, like being in the habit to pause and really congratulate those small good things that we don't do all the time. You know, we're actually more likely to pause for the negative. And so the kids see that and they'll be like, I'm going to do the same thing. Literally, so many kids in my classroom are like, I know that's not you talking. I know that's your parent talking. Because I don't think you understand what you're saying. You know what I mean? So I think like just in general, like kids receive what we're doing way more sensitively than we receive other adults. So I think it's really important for us to like kind of self-reflect of how we are exuding positivity and hopefulness in front of kids, because kids really just want to conquer the world. And then it's like us adults are like, that's not realistic, you know, like, but who are we to say what's realistic?
Right. Why can't they?
Yeah. Just keep like, I think it's so important to keep pursuing that anything is possible. keep dreaming. And, you know, kids really do surprise you about what they create.
Totally agree.
I always had someone give me advice because I think my son was, he jumped off some playground equipment and because he wanted to try to fly. Yeah. And so I was like, well, you can't fly. But then I had another person say, well, you know, maybe he'll be the first.
Yeah.
You know? don't shatter his dreams. Maybe he'll do it.
Talk about that at the hospital
exactly.
later on.
Right. Keep
so
dreaming.
Maybe we can't fly this time.
Just make sure you try it from the ground.
Yeah.
Safely. Flap your arms
padding.
Really
yeah.
hard.
So you're very passionate about the arts and travel. What are some of your favorite places to visit?
Oh, my gosh. I went to Zanzibar 2 years ago. Do you guys know where that is? It's off the western coast of East Africa, off of Tanzania. Mm. Most beautiful place literally in the world.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's on the Indian Ocean, completely white sand beach, very soft. Water is crystal white, like white water, and clear, meaning completely clear, mm-hmm. and warm. It's not even cold. No seaweed, nothing. Like, it's not even dirty. And then it's just, like, a very interesting place even culturally because I think people don't, on the western side of the world, don't really see the infusion of other cultures and that integration. So over there, the mixture is Arab, African, and Indian cultures all together. So if you can imagine, it's kind of like a real-life Aladdin. And I used to hate on Aladdin growing up because I'm like, oh, this is like a fake India. And, like, it's not real. But that place looks like Aladdin. Like, it's so beautiful. And I think the one outside of, you know, beautiful aesthetic and its culture is that, you know, there are three different religions on this very small island. And Islam is the most prominent religion. So they, you know, they pray continually throughout the day. The other the religions are Christianity and Hinduism, which don't always do that, like, call to prayer. But on this island, they all do it together. Mm. They all ring the bell after each other so that they could all pray together.
Oh, that's great.
And I think it's such a beautiful thing because a lot of times religion does separate us. Like, we intolerate each other just for the excuse of religion. And this is a place where they say, no, we'll pray together. We'll take this moment for peace together. And they're just so respectful of it. So, amazing place. I think everybody should go there.
That's inspiring.
Yeah,
very much
seriously.
So would you say that location, like that Zanzibar is one of the most inspiring places you visited? Or is there other areas that you feel have been a bigger inspiration on what you do?
I think I studied in South Africa in Cape Town, and that's really influenced me a lot. And so is India, actually. But Cape Town was really interesting because, you know, apartheid has just recently ended, like within our lifetimes. Hmm. And so it was very interesting to see, you know, how they dealt with conversations with race and how they were very forward with each other about conversations. It really inspired me to say, like, why aren't we more forward with it? It's like, it's not like it's going to kill us, you know what I mean? If anything, they were more understanding of each other and just saying, yeah, you're different, you're cool, it's fine, you know, and joking each other about it. But the brutality of apartheid just happened within many of these people's lifetimes. The fact that, you know, they could talk about it so openly and here, you know, a lot of the brutality were in some of our, you know, people's lifetimes. But that brutality still exists now, you know, within our mm-hmm. race relations. So I think that really inspired me to, like, look at, like, how our country is functioning right now. And then you see that I studied in a lot of different port cities, so cities where, like, a lot of trade was happening, and you see a lot of intersection of culture. So in Cape Town, in Brazil, as in Bahia, in India, if you go to Goa, New Orleans is an example of a port city.
Right.
And those are places where a lot of different people are coming. And those are all places that are very vibrant in culture. You know, a lot of, like, celebrations. You always have a carnival there. And the commonality is that it's that intersection of culture that's right. all coming together that really influences all that. So I think, like, I really love port cities. Like, Cape Town made me realize that. And then I went to Brazil and saw that familiarity. And I think those are cool parallels to see in the world, if anybody can go.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow. A dream to go.
Yeah. It's not that hard. Flight prices are not that expensive, so people should pursue it, you know. So
how do these – oh, sorry.
No, yeah. No, I was just going to say I'm booking my ticket right now.
So how do these other areas you visited approach the arts from differently from what we do in the States?
Oh, man. It's so amazing. I think it's that partially the reason of infusion of culture. There's no restriction. Like, everybody, art is everywhere. You know, it's not only in a gallery. You know, everything is painted. It's not restricted as to, like, where you can paint. People are painting on the streets and that sort of thing. So for us, I think in America, it's like we're expected to see art only in certain places, whereas it kind of shifts when it's everywhere in terms of how you receive different visuals and then therefore how you receive different perspectives. You know, because you're understanding different stories as you see these visuals on the streets. You're like, where are they coming from? What's that about? But you are taking a moment to pause and be like, oh, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
I think London does a good job of that, too. You know, they're a lot more open about, like, their art. And we actually did a art showcase in London, like, a few years ago. And they automatically got, like, what The Simple Good was about, why we had to do it. And I think part of it was that they're just kind of more primed to see art everywhere, and therefore they're more accepting of these different narratives and stories.
That's awesome. A good point. I never thought about that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What's the future of Simple Good? Where do you want to see it go from here?
Yeah. I mean, the goal is, like, really to bring, you know, like I said, break barriers and bring dialogue amongst people through the arts. And so we're really working towards scaling this program outside of Chicago and
awesome.
Being able to bring it to different places, not only in the States, but also internationally. So, you know, we have actually expanded our program in East Africa to 2 countries now, which has been so cool to see that it's really been so powerful there. And we're hoping to be able to bring it into more cities here. Saying that, you know, Chicago is not this narrative that everybody thinks it is. You know, goodness does come from here, and we're able to bring that to other cities as well. And therefore, we can have our students creating this dialogue at a younger age. Like, I really think, for me, what was really important for me to break out of my bubble of, like, the things that I had to go through growing up was meeting other kids and other people that also had adversity and was also able to show me examples of resilience. And that is what made me say, okay, what am I complaining about? You know what I mean? I need to keep going. And also being more primed to say, like, just because you look different doesn't mean that you're different than me at all, you know? So I think that understanding needs to happen at a young age, like within the education system. Like, it's almost an institutional empathy program where we're understanding each other as a part of our curriculum in order for us to move forward and make better decisions that's good for the entire community, not only a community that we only understand. So I'm hoping that through by bringing this program to more, you know, education systems, more hospitals, we can be able to really teach and train students that from a young age and create more of an accepting, you know, thoughtful society that isn't afraid of each other. So that's kind of our goal and our future.
That's awesome. I love
it. Yeah, that's an incredible plan and something that we totally need.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I'm always curious about what people are reading. So do you have any book suggestions of what you're currently reading or any books that have really inspired what you do?
Oh, man. You know, I was just thinking this, that I need to read more.
You and me both.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that's been supplementing my reading. But I guess I when I was, like, really reading a lot, I was reading a lot of philosophy. So James Baldwin, I was reading a lot of his stuff. And I also like reading a lot of, like, international poets. So, like, like ancient poets, like Rumi, if you read any of his works, yeah, it's really beautiful. And, like, there was also, I'm blanking right now. There's also, I love, like, obviously economical books that relate to society. So Freakonomics is always very interesting
nice.
To me. But, yeah, I think a lot of it was, like, just trying to, whenever I travel, I try to find books that have, like, international philosophy books that I can learn from that region and kind of tie it together. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what I usually focus on. I'm boring. I don't have anything interesting.
No,
so.
That's
boring. Rumi's not boring.
No, not at all. So what got you interested in the arts to begin with?
That's a good question. So when I was young, my mom, I guess she taught me how to draw this flower. And that's kind of how I started. She always, like, would draw, I would always just flower or whatever, and I ended up being really good at it. And at school, I was the kid that always had to draw everybody's art project. So, like, I realized that I was really good at it, and I kind of grew interest. And then it actually really helped me growing up because I was in a school system where no one really looked like me, really, you know, and so I didn't understand that growing up. I'm also born with one hand, so you know there's a lot of, like, oppression that happens with that because people don't understand you or your capability. And when you're growing up, like I said, you know, that I thought I could do anything in the world. Mm. And it was actually other people that told me that I couldn't. And I still didn't understand why, because I really thought that I could. Like, what do you mean I can't tie my shoe, or I can't go to gym class, or, you know, why can't I play basketball, you know? And I think art really, like, I knew I was good at it, but then it really helped me say, like, I don't know what I'm feeling inside, but I'm just gonna draw it. And that is something that I got, you know, people would be like, oh, great, you created something, you know? And so it was kind of my means of expressing something that I didn't really know what to express. And I would get some kind of, you know, gratitude for it. And so I think that's why it's really powerful when kids create, or when people create in general, because the power of you creating actually creates, like, some sort of purpose. You know, people are like, oh, great, you created something. And it also serves as a way to, like, release something inside of you. So I've always, like, for my own purposes and experiences, felt like, wow, this is such a great, powerful tool. And then at the same time, like, I've always been very passionate about seeing how I could bring that to other people.
So. Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Does The Simple Good have any events coming up?
Yes, we have a youth showcase tonight.
Nice.
For our students that are in Woodlawn. It's going to be at the University of Chicago Community Programs Accelerator. And then we have a really awesome event this summer, which is one of our big fundraisers, called Hunt for Good. It's a citywide street art scavenger hunt. So you find all the Simple Goods of Chicago within 3 hours.
Wow.
So it's a really fun race. You do a lot of fun things. You have to do different dares and acts of kindness in order to get a point. And people really come back like, wow, I didn't even know my neighborhood had all this stuff.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So you're rediscovering the city in a different way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
a great journey.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Awesome. So how can listeners learn more about The Simple Good, or how can they get involved?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're always looking for people to volunteer or, you know, be a part of our board or different events. So you can follow us on social media. Everything is at The Simple Good or thesimplegood.com. We try to update our site as much as possible, but we're always trying to do stuff on the ground and meet people and stuff like that. So feel free to reach out.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so
Definitely.
Much.
Thanks, guys. This is so much fun. I appreciate your support.
Yeah, well, thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, definitely.
Big thanks to our listeners. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, and don't forget to rate and review in iTunes. We record at Flashpoint Chicago in the heart of downtown. Special thanks to the amazing Flashpoint team for editing our show and making us sound awesome. The music on our show is by Robot Boot. We're brought to you by Threadless Artist Shops. Open your own online merch store for free at artistshops.com. You make art, we'll do the rest.